We're going to start here by the Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Bet. Rav Acha Bar Huna, Rav Shmuel Brei the Rabbo Bar Bar Chana, Rav Yitzchak Brei the Rav Yehuda, Tanu Shvuot Bei Rabbo. They went over, they learned Masechet Shvuot in the Beit Midrash of Rabbo. Paga Behu Rav Kana. When they were walking out or they were on a tiyul somewhere, they bump into Rav Kana. Amar Lahu, he says to them, Hezid Bishvat Apikadom Vehitru Bo. Mahu. If he intentionally violates Shvat HaPikadon, and there was Hatra'ah, what is the din? Kevon d'chidushu. Since it is an unusual case, the B'chol HaTorah lo ashkechan mezid maiti korban, because in the whole Torah we don't really find individuals who bring a korban for a violation b'mezid. As Rashi points out, it's not exactly that this is the only place. There are actually four places where that is true. Says Lab Dafka Kol Torah Kula Sharei Dalid Mevim. There are four people who bring Al Zadon Kishkaga, Abal Shivcha Charufa, Nazir Shenitma, Shvat Eidut, and Shvat Apikadon. So it's one of four places in the whole Torah where we bring it on Zadon, and it's actually one of three places where you bring it as an Asham and not as a Chatat, because Shvat Eidut is a Chatat. So it's a limited scope of cases where we have such a thing that you bring a korban for a violation b'mezid. V'hocha maiti korban. And here, despite the fact that the normal rule is mezid does not bring a korban, here you do bring a korban. Lo shna atrube, v'lo shna lo atrube. And therefore it makes no difference whether there is hatra'ah or there is no hatra'ah, because the punishment for mezid is a korban. Odilma, hani mili heched lo atrube. Maybe the korban is only the result of a lack of hatra'ah. Aval heichud atrubei, but in a case where there is hatra'ah, milke loki, korban lo maiti. He'll get malkot, and he won't bring a korban. O dilma, ha v'ha avdina. Or maybe he can bring both. So here you have three possibilities as to what's going to happen in this situation. Rav Kahana is asking about a situation in which idim show up and give him hatra'ah and warn him not to violate Shvuat HaPikadon before he actually takes the Shvuah denying that he owes money in this situation. So now, what does the Hatra'ah do? So there's one possibility is that absolutely nothing. Because already the punishment for Mezid is a Korban, and if you give Hatra'ah, you haven't changed anything. It's still a Mezid case, and he's going to bring a Korban. The next possibility is that it will be displaced. In a case where you have Hatra'ah, it'll be under the normal rubric of a Mezid b'Hatra'ah, which is a lav that gets Malkot. Since you're getting Malkot, you're not going to bring the Korban. The last possibility is that you're actually going to be Chayav both, which is that when there's Hatra'ah, you're going to be Chayav Malkot, but you'll also be Chayav a Korban. Case without Hatra'ah, you'll only be Chayav the Korban. And even though we generally have a position that you can't be punished for Shtei Rishuyot, you can't get a double punishment for the same violation. Nevertheless, over here, first of all, one of them is a punishment, which is Malkot. The other one is a Korban, which is Kapara. And number two is, one of them is met out by Beit Din, which is the Malkot. The other one is towards a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is a Korban. So we would allow it in this case. It would not be subject to Shtei Rishayot or the inability to give a person two punishments. So this is the question of Rav Kahana. Rashi, taking a step back, says, why does the Gemara only ask this question with regards to Shvuat HaPikadon and not with regards to Shvuat HaEidut? We just spent the whole perek on Shvuat HaEidut, where you can also bring a korban b'mezid, and so why doesn't Rav Kahana have the same question by Shvuat HaEidut that he has by Shvuat HaPikadon? So Rashi says something which is extremely difficult, which leads other Rishonim to go in a totally different direction. Rashi says here, it's the second line of Rashi, v'gabe Shvuat HaEidut, Afagav dechayav nami mezid kishogeg leka lemibaye hachbayo. Can't ask this question. Mishum dein hatra'at vadai b'shuat ha'idut. There's no such thing as real hatra'ah b'shuat ha'idut. Demi yodeya shehem yodim lo ha'idut. Because you never know whether they do know ha'idut or don't know ha'idut. V'yachol le'atrot bo. So that you can warn them not to do the wrong thing. So Rashi has an underlying assumption here that the edim giving hatra'ah have to know that the person who did the violation actually did the violation, and actually is in possession of material evidence, and therefore they can warn them. That assumption is very problematic, as the Balei HaTosafot note already says, "Ve'ein nira de lo chashiv safek, kevin de le mutra ein safek." He says the safek has nothing to do with the people giving the warning. The safek has to do with the person receiving the warning. And that means that as long as the person who's receiving the warning knows that they have edut, then the hatra is a good hatra. Why is it considered a safek if the person giving the warning can't tell what's inside the heart of the individual who's there? That doesn't make it into a safek. And Tosafot brings evidence to that, that we know in cases where we have no idea what's in the heads of the individuals. Nevertheless, if you warn them and they accept the warning, they know what's going on, and that's considered to be hatrat vadai. So Rashi claims that it's hatrat safek, which differentiates between the case of edut and the case of pikadon, whereas the Bayit Tosafot say that he doesn't see any hatrat safek over here. And the reason he says, v'hach kalo bayi, hach baya bishwat ha'edut. So then Tosafot has to answer the question that Rashi raised, which is, why don't we bring this up by shvat ha'edut? Mishom di'ef shar leida le'olam, im he mezidim, shecholim lomar, shechachnu. Because it's impossible to tell whether by shvat ha'edut they are intentional. Because intent is always something that is in the head of the person. So by shvat ha'edut, when they say, we took the shvu'as, denying that we had testimony, that time we forgot that we had testimony. You can't prove whether they did or did not forget the testimony at that time. There's no way for you to know what's in their head. And for that reason, it fails, because you can never prove that they are mezidin. As opposed to pikadon, which also involves what's in the head of the individual, but there you can actually create a case or a scenario where the evidence is in front of you. If the edei hatra'ah know that the guy is in possession of the pikadon, he's holding the pikadon now, or the pikadon is right next to him, and he's denying the fact that it's a pikadon, he can't claim over there that he's a shogeg or shechach. It's sitting right there. It's right in front of him. So in that case, you can have evidence that makes it that we know for sure that you are mezid in this case, as opposed to other cases like shvat ha'edut, where we can never prove that you are a mezid, and never we can ever compel you to get malkot, because we just don't know if you are a mezid. You can always claim shechach, we forgot. The Rimi Gash brings up another option, which when I was learning with my brother-in-law, he also suggested, which is that if the Edei Hatra'ah are coming and warning the individual, if they don't know about what's happening, if they weren't there to witness the witnesses witnessing the event, then they can't come to them and give them a warning, we know you know testimony. How do they know that they know testimony unless they were there witnessing them witness the event itself? Because as the Rimi Gash points out, if they do know the edut, and now they're warning the individual, once they know edut, then they are also valid edim in the case. Shvat edut assumes that there are no other valid edim that can do what you can do. And when you take shvat edut, it means that you've taken a shvuah denying testimony in a case where you would have swayed the case with your testimony. But here there are two other edim with the same information. And if you deny it, they can come and solve the case here, and you're not chayav b'shvat ha'edut. So if the edei hatra'ah are in possession of the same information as the edim that they are warning, there is no shvat ha'edut. And that's how the Rimi Gash deals with it, which is, in a case where the edei hatra'ah are also aware of the fact that there was a problem here, and these people know edut, which is what would make them have the knowledge to warn them that you know edut, and you better not do this. But in that case, if they know the edut as well, then they're equally capable of swaying the case. And when you have two sets of edim, and one denies it, that one is not chayav b'shvat edut, because there's a second set of edim that can come in and testify in the case. Bali Tosfot and many of the other Rishonim go in a different direction, which is you can separate the hatra'ah from the edut, and those edim can't have enough information to give hatra'ah, even without testimony. But nevertheless, the Rimi Gash sets up a case, or it suggests that the case could likely be a case if the edei hatra'ah need to know enough information to give the hatra'ah, then they also know enough information to give edut. And I agree with you, that's not muhrak. You could come up with cases where they have enough information for hatra'ah and not enough information for edut, although the Rimi Gash goes in that direction. All right. Amru Lei, they responded to him, to Rav Kahana, Tanina. Chamura heimena shvuata pikadon, shechayavin az dona makot, vashigigata asham, b'kesef shkalim. So here you have that the shvuata pikadon is more chamur, because you're chayav al zdona makot. On an intentional violation, you're going to get malkot. Vashigigata, and on an unintentional violation, you're going to have an asham, b'kesef shkalim. That seems to indicate, midikamarle al zdona makot, the fact that it tells you that the case is zdona is makot, michlau da atrube. It must be a case where hatra'ah was given, because otherwise you wouldn't end up with makot, vikamar. And Tanaic work says, makotin, korban, lo. That they get makot and you don't get the korban. So this is actually be the answer to your question. Hatra'ah has to be present here because there is makot. Number two is that you're only given makot and you're not given a korban. So of your three options, this Tanaic work gives you the answer that the answer when you have hatra'ah is you only get makot. Umay chumrah. So why is there a chumrah? What is the chumrah of the hatra'ah? The nechale inche, the mighty korban velo lilke. People will always opt for bringing a korban rather than getting malkot, and that is the chumrah. The chumrah is when you have hatra'ah, you're going to get malkot and not be able to bring a korban, as opposed to the case where you don't have hatra'ah, there you bring a korban and not malkot. So the chumrah of hatra'ah is you end up with malkot and not be able to bring a korban. Amar lehu rova bariti, man tana zdon shua pikadon lo nitan lekapara. Wait a minute. This goes back to what we saw on Lamed Daled Amud Bet, where we quoted this Tanaic work, and on that, Rava Bariti says that the author of that position is Rabbi Shimon, and therefore it's a dat yachid and not the dat of the Chachamim. Because he says, who is the individual who believes that Shvuta Bikadon, lo nitan lekapara? When you have a zadon, a wanton violation, a mazid violation of Shvuta Bikadon, that you don't bring a korban. That goes back to Rabbi Shimon at the end of the previous perek, where he learns out Shvuta Pikadon from Me'ilah. And he says that Shvuta Pikadon only has application b'shogeg and not b'mezid. Even after the Gzeir Shavah, he has an alternate Gzeir Shavah from Me'ilah, which tells you that Me'ilah teaches you to Shvuta Pikadon, that Shvuta Pikadon is only applicable b'shogeg, as opposed to the Chachamim who believe that Shvuta Pikadon is applicable b'mezid, because they learned it out of Shvuta Edut. The Gzeir Shavah from Shvuat Eidut. That difference then contributes to the authorship of this Tanaic work. Mantanas don't shvuah pikadon lo nitan lechapara. Who's the one who believes that when you have an intentional violation of Shvuat Pikadon, you don't bring a korban? Rabbi Shimon. That's Rabbi Shimon. Aval Rabbonon korbanami maiti. But maybe according to the Rabbonon, you would also bring a korban. Or you bring a korban in general. Meaning that you can't prove anything from this work. Because this is authored by Rabbi Shimon. And we're not speaking in the position of Rabbi Shimon, we're speaking in the position of the Chachamim. We want to know, according to the Chachamim, who believe there is a Korban for Mezid, what happens with Hatra'ah? That you're not going to have information about. Rabbi Shimon believes there is no Korban by Mezid. Of course, when there's Hatra'ah, you're going to get Malkot, because there's nothing else. There's no other alternative. There's no Kopara, there's no Korban for Rabbi Shimon if you do it by Mezid. That leaves the only option as being Malkot. Our question is, according to Chachamim, we say there is a korban, is there also malkot? Or is there malkot and no korban? What's the story? So, Amar lehu Rav Kahana, bar mina dahayi. First of all, don't bring me that Tanaic work. Dana taninala, I also know about that work. Bahachi taninala, and this is the language that is found in that work. Echad zdona, ve'achad shkigata. Whether you do it intentionally or unintentionally, Asham bekesef shkalim. You bring an asham that is a minimum of 2 shekel or 2 sela in Lashon HaMishnah. Umay chumrah. So then, based on your version of this work, what is the chumrah? Dilu hotam chatat badanka. There you bring a chatat that is any value. Badanka, Rashi says, is danka means 1/6. It means 1/6 of a dinar, which is a ma'ah, which is a very small amount of money. And here, you're going to bring an asham that has a minimum value of 2 shekel or 2 sela, the Lashon HaMishnah. So what Rav Kahana says is, first of all, you have the problem, which is that Rav Bariti says that that Tanaic work that you brought, it's not even authored by the Chachamim, it's authored by Rabbi Shimon. Number two is, my version of that Tanaic work is completely different. And over there, it was saying that there is a chumrah by Shvuta Pikadon, in the fact that you have to bring a korban. What is the chumrah in bringing a korban? The chumrah is not vis-a-vis itself. It's not saying the difference between mezid and shogeg in the case of Shvuta Pikadon, but it's vis-a-vis Shvuta Edut. That by Shvuta Edut, a mezid violation results in a chatat. A chatat, there's no minimum price for a chatat. You can bring any priced chatat as long as you qualify for whatever it is that the chatat requires. On the other hand, by Nasham, there is a minimum price threshold of 2 shekel. So the chumrah of shvata pikadon is that the cost of the korban has a minimum threshold, which means it's going to be more expensive to deal with shvata pikadon. And that's what it means, the chumrah. Chumrah is the korban is more expensive by shvata pikadon versus shvata edut, but the braita reads that Zadon and Shkagah both bring a korban. But we have no idea whether the Zadon over here includes Hatra or doesn't include Hatra. That's not mentioned in the Tanaic work. So Gemara says, Ligamer Mina. Why don't we learn from that? Why don't you take this Tanaic work in Rav Kahana's version and learn from that that you bring a korban and that's it? Says Dilma Delo Atribe. How do you know there was Hatra in this case? There's nothing in this Tanaic work which gives you evidence to the fact that there was or wasn't Hatra. So you can't prove anything here with regards to Rav Kahana, the fact that it says you bring a Korban b'mezid, because it could have been a case where there was no Hatra, and then it's not even addressing the case of Rav Kahana. Lishna achrina, another way to have, or another version of this is, Tashma, ein chayavin ashigigata, ma hein chayavin azdona, you're not chayav on an unintentional violation. What are you chayav on an intentional violation? Asham v'kesef shkalim. My love b'da'atrube. Must be a case where they gave hatra. And therefore, from this you would prove what Rav Kahana wants to know, which is there you only bring your korban, even though there was hatra. Where it says, hachanami d'la'atrube. How do you know there was hatra in this case? There's nothing in the braita that we just brought that gives you evidence of the fact that there was hatra. And therefore, the case could equally be in a case where there's no Hatra. And when there's no Hatra, yeah, you bring a Korban, b'mezid, but that doesn't tell you anything about Rav Kahana's question. So we're still left in a bind at this point, which is we don't know the answer to Rav Kahana's question. Now we're going to bring a Braita, Tashma, which Rashi says he has no idea where the Braita is, or the context of the Braita. We're bringing something that starts out like in the middle of a sentence, and we don't really know the context in which it is written. That's the way Rashi learns it. The Balei Tosafot over here suggests that it comes out of the Sifrei, which is the Midrash Halacha on Bamidbar. But even though the version that they have in this Sifrei is significantly different than that which we have in our Gemara, Rabbeinu Chananel has a slightly closer version of the Braita in the Sifrei to what we have in our Gemara. Except that according to the Rabbeinu Chananel's Girsa, it was speaking about Shvat Eidut. And that's where the Ramban comes in and says that many times, since the din of Shvat Eidut and Shvat HaPikadon are similar, what the Gemara did was take a braita about Shvat Eidut and replace Shvat Eidut with Shvat HaPikadon in there, because it should have the same din, because Shvat HaPikadon and Shvat Eidut are learned from each other. He says that's the derech of the Gemara. The Gemara sometimes will interchange cases with a similar formula. So even though maybe in the Sifrei it's not speaking about Shvat HaPikadon, nevertheless they might fill in Shvat HaPikadon in this case and use the same wording in order to give you a braita, because there is an equivalence between Shvat HaPikadon and Shvat HaEdut, and therefore the din should be the same here, which is low. Ima Marta b'Nazir Tamei Shekein Lokeh. When it comes to a Nazir Tamei who intentionally becomes Tamei when he is a Nazir, he is subject to Malkot. So there is a Chumrah by Nazir, which is he gets Malkot. Tomar b'Shvat HaPikadon She'ein Lokeh. Are you going to say that also by Shvat HaPikadon, where he doesn't get Malkot? So now the Gemara says, Midekamar Lokeh, the only way you're going to get Malkot by the case of Nazir Tamei is if you gave him Hatra. Michlal, from that you can infer the Atrube, that there was clearly Hatra over here. Vika Amar. And the second half of the statement is, Tomar B'Shvat HaPikadon, She'en Lokeh. So there, it tells you that you're not going to get Malkot, even though there is Hatra. It's comparing Nazir Tamei to the case of Shvat HaPikadon. It says, by Nazir Tamei you will get Malkot, by Shvat HaPikadon you will not get Malkot. It has to be the same case, other than what is the contrast between them. So contrasting them, in a case of Hatra'a, the Nazir who is mitamei gets Malkot. The person who violates Shvat HaPikadon with Hatra'a does not get Malkot. Aval Korban Maiti. But he does bring a Korban. And it's a given in the Gemara that you're going to bring a Korban for Shvat HaPikadon b'Zadon or b'Mezid if you don't get Malkot, because that is the Ikar time that you are Chayav for a Korban according to the Chachamim. So the only question is, can Malkot displace it? Can Malkot be added on top of it? But there's no belief that you won't have Malkot and not bring a Korban. So here's the answer to your question. You do bring a Korban, you don't get Malkot. So Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. My Eino Lokeh, What is the Eino Lokeh? Deino Niftar B'Malkot. That it's not enough that you get Malkot. They're rereading it of Eino Lokeh not to mean that you don't get Malkot, but rather Malkot are not sufficient. So that by the case of Shweta Bigadon, you're not only going to get Malkot, you also have to bring a Korban. But that implies, Michlal, the Nazir Tamei Niftar B'Malkot. That the first statement in that Braita means now, if you are Lokeh, that means the Malkot are sufficient. If you get Malkot, you're done. Ha Korban Ktive. Everybody knows that a Nazir Tamei has to bring the Korbanei Nazir Tamei afterwards. There's no way that you get away just with Malkot. So Gemara says, Hotam the mighty Korban, Keche de Tichol Alei Nizirut Betara. We've seen this numerous times in Rashi, and here the Gemara itself says it, that the Korbanot of a Nazir Tamei are not a kapara, or not anything to do with his nizirut bitum'ah, but rather are a trigger or a matir for him to start his nizirut bitahara. They are the starting line for the new nizirut. Until he does that, he can't start the new nizirut. They have nothing to do with the nizirut bitum'ah. I mean, they're not kapara for it. They're not a, in a sense, response to the nizirut bitum'ah. They are just a gzeirat hakatuv, that if you want to start a nizirut bitahara, you got to bring these three korbanot. So they are detached from the Nizirut B'Tumah. So in that way, the explanation now of that Braita that we're bringing the Sifrei is that if you get Malkot by Nazir, you're done. Everything's done. By the case of Shvata Pikadon, Malkot are not going to suffice. You're going to need Malkot, and you're going to need a Korban. So you can read the Braita that way, and then the answer to Rav Kana's question would be that you get Malkot and a Korban by Hatra. Or you could read the Braita the way we did originally, which is, Lokeh by Nazir means by Hatra'ah by Nazir you get Malkot. By the case of Shweta Pikadon, you do not get Malkot. You will bring a Korban, but you won't get Malkot. The fact that you can read the Braita in two different ways means we don't have an answer to Rav Kahana's question. Because either you don't get Malkot, you do bring a Korban, or you do get Malkot and you bring a Korban. Those are the two possible explanations of the Braita. That means we don't know. The truth is that you did eliminate one possibility, which is getting Malkot alone was not one of the options to explain the Braita. So you did eliminate one possibility, but the fact is that since it's inconclusive how to explain the Braita, you can't prove anything about Rav Kahana's question. So now, Amrua Rabbonon Kamei Derabba. So these three youngsters who were learning in the Beit Midrash of Rabba, who Rav Kahana bumped into and asked them the question, they returned to the Beit Midrash of Rabba, and they tell him the question that Rav Kahana posed. So Amar Lahu, Rabba says to them, Michlau dechliu o atrubei, ve'ike edim, michayev. He says, the assumption here is that it's only because you have edim with hatra'ah that there is a question that arises. Underlying that assumption is, if you don't have edim behatra'ah, michlau dechliu o atrubei, if there is no hatra'ah, ve'ike edim, but there are edim in the case, michayev, that you would be chayav, firat dvarim ba'alma. Then in that case, your denial is meaningless. Alma kosova rabba, from this you can conclude that rabba's position is, hakufer ba'mamon, sheish alav edim, patur. If you deny under oath owing money when there are edim in the case that can disprove what you're saying, over there, that's not considered to be a denial of money. What Rabba says is, Shvata Pikadon is only relevant when your denial will save you the money, which will stop you from having to pay. So when you deny it, now you're going to say you're patur. You don't have to pay the case because you took a shua denying the fact that you owed the money. You are denying an obligation towards that party. And now Beit Din will have no way to enforce it on you. That's called kfirat mamon. That is a denial of owing money. On the other hand, if you have edim in the case, doesn't matter what you say, if the edim are going to show up and then obligate you to pay, your denial is meaningless in the face of edim. And that is Rabba's position, that if there are edim in the case, then there is no kfirat mamon. Your denial is meaningless because you're denying something that you will not make a difference because edim will show up and they will testify and obligate you to pay. And therefore, there's no kfirat mamon, and that means that there is no shvata pikadon when there are edim in the case. And that is Rabba's underlying problem with Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana assumes that there are edim in the case. It's just a question of whether they gave hatra or they didn't give hatra. In the case they gave hatra, Rav Kahana has a question, what is the punishment? When they don't give hatra, he has no question. They bring a korban. What do you mean? Rabba says. when there are no hatra'ah, they're not even going to bring a korban. There's an underlying assumption here, which is mistaken, which is that when there are eidim in the case, there's still shvuat ha'pikadon. And he says that's just not true. When there are eidim in the case, there is no shvuat ha'pikadon. And for that reason, he says, I don't even understand how Rav Kahana's question got off the ground.
And even though it's not mukhrach here, just because the eidim didn't give hatra'ah means that they have the capacity to give eidut in the case, there are many cases when you can have eidei hatra'ah that don't know eidut about the case itself. For instance, they are relatives. In that case, they can be eidei hatra'ah, they cannot be eidim in the case. The Ramban gives an answer to the question by undermining the question itself and saying that if you cannot be a witness because you are a karov, you're also disqualified for giving hatra'ah as a karov. And so that instance, if there is some other disqualification that's disqualifying you from being an eid, that same disqualification will also disqualify you from giving hatra'ah. Or, the Ramban says, maybe ein hochanami, you could have asked that question over here, but wanted to give a full explanation to all the cases here, and therefore he opted for the answer that's found in the Gemara, instead of the simpler answer, which would have just to say, I could separate between the eidei hatra'ah and the eidim in the case itself. Amar le Rav Chanina le Rabbo, Tanya de Misayelach. We have a braita that supports your understanding of Shvuat HaPikadon. Just to note, we're going to spend a lot of time now on this, and we're going to come towards the end of the daf and have Rabbi Yochanan who disagrees with this position of Rabba. But right now the Gemara is taking up Rabba's position and trying to understand it. So Rav Chanina says to Rabba, we have a braita that supports your understanding. V'kichesh ba, he denies knowing, or he denies owing the money. Prat limodel echad min achim. That comes to exclude a case where he admits to one of the brothers. Ole echad min ashutafim, or to one of the partners. Vinish baal sheker. He takes a shvua falsely denying that he owes the money. Prat lelove bishtar velelove beidim. To exclude the case of where he borrows under a shtar, or he borrows with eidim. Rav Chanina is bringing this bright as a proof to Rabba, which says that in a case where you have eidim, there is no shvuat ha-pikadon. That's what the bright just said. If you do it b'sheker, nishbal sheker, that's prat, to exclude a case where you borrowed with a shtar or you borrowed with eidim. That means when you borrowed with eidim, you're not chayav for shvuat ha-pikadon. That's exactly what Rabba said. Amar lei imi shum ha, Lotisayan. If it was just because of that, it is not a proof to me. So now, Rabba retorts and says, that's not true. The braita can be read in a way that it's not a proof to what I'm saying. And that is, Bomer, Leviti, Velo Leviti Beidim. The individual says that I did borrow the money, but I didn't borrow with Eidim. Leviti, Velo Leviti Bishtar. I did borrow the money, I just didn't borrow it with a shtar. So in order to be chayav shvuat ha-pikadon, you have to make a kfirah. You have to be denying that you owe money. In this case, he's not denying that he owes the money. He's just saying that the situation or circumstance was different. Yes, I owe you the money, but I didn't borrow it with a dim. Or yes, I owe you the money, but I didn't borrow it with a shtar. In that case, you will not be subject to shvuat ha-pikadon because you didn't deny owing the money. You're admitting that you owe the money. You're just saying that I owe the money under a different context. It wasn't with a dim, it wasn't with a shtar. And that's what makes it that it fails over here, or there's no shvuat ha-pikadon. And in that way, it's no proof to me. Because then the failure in the denial is the fact that you're not denying owing the money. It's not because there are a dim there, it's simply that you're not denying owing the money. Mimai, how do you know that that's the right explanation of the braita, the one that Rabba is giving now? Migdani, because of the resha. The Reisha says, V'kichesh ba, prat l'modeh l'achad min achim. When he denies it, that excludes the case where he admits to one of the brothers that he owes the money. O l'achad min ashutafim, or to one of the partners that he owes the money. Hai l'achad min achim echidami. What's the case when we're dealing with one of the brothers? So if you have two partners, and he owes money to the partnership, and he says, I don't owe money to one of them, and the other partner says, I do owe the money, that's not a denial, because he's admitting to one of the partners that he does owe the money. He just denied it to one, but not the other. So what's the case by the achim? Ilema de odule palga dide. If you're saying that he says, listen, there's 50% that's owed to you, 50% owed to the other guy, I'm admitting to 50% and denying the other 50%. In that case, ayika kfira. There is a denial over there. He's denying 50% of what he owes. He's not saying that, oh, I owe 100%. He only admits it to one of the two partners. Over here, he's admitting to one that I owe you 50%. The other one saying that I don't owe you at all. That means that he's denying 50% of the claim that is being brought against him. You have the kfira of the other brother. The brothers come along and say, you borrowed money from both of us. And he says back to them, lo, michan minaychu yasvi, I only borrowed from one of you. Davilei kfirat dvarim mi'alma. In that way, it's only a kfira in the words. It's not a kfira in the denial of the money that he's owed. He says, I owe 100% of the money. I just only owe it to one of the brothers, not to both of you. So in that way, he's not denying any monetary obligation. He's simply denying the facts in the case. Who do I owe the money to? Do I owe it to one brother or do I owe it to two brothers? But that's what we call kfirat dvarim ba'alma. Umidereisha, since the first case in the Braita must be a case where it's kfirat dvarim ba'alma, seifa nami kfirat dvarim. So too, the seifa is a case of kfirat dvarim ba'alma, which means that the failure in the case is that he's not denying money. It has nothing to do with the presence of the edim. It has to do with the fact that his denial is a denial that it was done by edim, but he's not denying the monetary obligation. If you don't deny monetary obligation, there is no shvat apigadon. But in explaining the Braita in that way, what Rabba does is takes it away from being a proof to himself, because he says that the case in the Braita is not a case with edim, just a case where the denial and the acceptance of whether they're edim or not make no difference in the case. He owes money and he says, I owe the money. There's no shvat apikadon here, and that's why there's no korban or there's no punishment associated with it, and in that way the Braita is not a proof to me. And even though Rabba's whole reason why when you have edim, it's not considered to be shvat apikadon is because it's kfirat dvarim ba'alma, so in the end, his explanation of the Braita should support his position. The Rimi Gash points out that there's a difference in this type of kfirat dvarim, which is, by the kfirat dvarim in the Braita, that kfirat dvarim is completely meaningless from the moment he says it, because he's never denying the claim against him. And then, by the case of the edim, the kfirah is rendered meaningless because the edim can come in the end and change the case. But when he denies the claim, he's actually denying the claim. And therefore, that might be different than that which is found in the Braita. And that's why Rabba says the Braita does not approve to my position. Tashma. Eino chayav al shigigata. You are not chayav for a violation bishogeg. Umau chayav al zdona. What are you chayav when you do it intentionally? Asham bekesef shkalim. Then you bring the korban. My love, zadon edim. Isn't the case here where the zadon is because there are edim? Why is it a intentional violation versus an unintentional violation? So the answer might be zadon edim. Mar says, lo, zadon atzmo. The intention here has nothing to do with the edim, it has to do with the party himself. So if you look at Rashi, my love, zadon edim. What does zadon edim mean? Shehitrubo. That they warned him. So now, if you say that, then the question from the Braita is different than we thought. The Braita could be either a question on Rabba, or the question could be on Rav Kahana. Rabba just told us that if you have edim, there is no such thing as shvat apikadon. On the other hand, Rav Kahana was asking us, when you have hatra'ah, what is the din? So now, if you now say, what does zadon edim mean? Rashi claims that zadon edim means that there was hatra'ah in the case. So now, if there is hatra'ah in the case, the proof being brought by this Braita is on Rav Kahana's case. Rav Kahana wants to know, when you have hatra'ah, what's the din? The Braita is now telling you, you have zadon edim, you have hatra'ah, the punishment say korban. That's an answer to Rav Kahana's question. The Gemara rejects that and says, no, it's not zadon edim, it's not hatra'ah, it's a case of zadon atzmo, where he himself knows the information and intentionally violates it, but not that there are edim and hatra'ah in the case without hatra'ah, and therefore it's not a proof about Rav Kahana's position. You could have easily read the Gemara without Rashi's explanation, and say zadon edim does not mean hatra'ah, but zadon edim means there are edim in the case. And that means if there are edim in the case, and the Braita is telling you chayav a korban, that goes against Rabba. Rabba just told us if you have edim in the case, there's no such thing as shvat apikadon. Here, the Braita is telling you shvat apikadon, and there are edim in the case. That would disprove Rabba. Gemara's answer is it's not zadon edim, it's zadon atzmo. It's not a case where the violation is caused because they're edim. The violation is caused because he knows what he's doing, and he's denying it intentionally, and that's why it is mezid. If you look at that go to Bach, he says, nirbeinai hua din de below hitrubo nami. He could have equally read this Braita as a case where there was no hatra'ah. And kasha the Rabba. And then it would be a question on Rabbah instead of a question on Rav Kahana, or an answer for Rav Kahana's question. The way Rashi is reading this Braita is that the Gemara is trying to bring a proof to what the answer to Rav Kahana's question is. And that means there was Hatra'ah. And then the Gemara rejects it and says there was no Hatra'ah. The Bach points out is you don't have to read it like Rashi. You could read Zdon Edim to mean there are Edim in the case, period. And not that there is Hatra'ah. And if you have Edim in the case and there's still a Chiyuv Korban, that's a question on Rabbah. Rabbah says when you have Edim in the case, no Korban, no Shvuat Api Gadon. Ella, the Zadon Edim, lo mishkachat la, ella behitru bo. But then the Bach backs away and says, wait, maybe Rashi's explanation is compelling only because that has to be that way. Because the only way we're going to have this is behitru bo. The lo hitru bo, if they don't warn him, ikonameimar shachach veleka zadon. Then the Edim, the guy can always claim, I forgot about it, and I'm not intentional. The only way to know for sure that this guy is doing it intentionally is if you have Hatra'ah. And so that's what he thinks maybe pushed Rashi in that direction. How can you claim Zadon Atzmo, where the guy says, I did it intentionally? There's no way to prove that somebody did something intentionally. Elaim Kain, you have Edim that warned him and said, if you do this, you're doing it intentionally. Now it's Hatra'ah is there as well. And that's why Rashi was compelled to say there was Hatra'ah over here, and not just Edim. Because of the fact that without Hatra'ah, there's no way that you can prove that the guy was Zadon. So that's how he comes back maybe to say that Rashi was compelled to say that there was Hatra'ah here. Because if you just have Edim, there's no way to prove that you have a Mezid in the case. So it must be that there's Hatra'ah because that's the only way you can get to Mezid. The answer in the end is the same as Zadon Atzmo. It's where he admits that he did it intentionally. And then he's going to be Chayav because of his own admission that he did it intentionally. What you're pointing out is that what the Bach says is not always true, which is that just because you gave Hatra'ah does not guarantee that you end up with a mazid case, because the guy can say, I just forgot about the pikadon. Our assumption is that the Hatra'ah here is that they know he has the pikadon, and they're warning him, we know you have the pikadon, and therefore when you deny it now, you're going to be in violation of Shvuat HaPikadon. That Hatra'ah can't simply be a Hatra'ah that if you do this intentionally, you're going to be chayav, a korban for Shvuat HaPikadon, but rather the warning has to be a type of warning where they know that he has the pikadon. And in knowing he has the pikadon, they're warning him. We know you have the pikadon, and we know if you take this denial and shvuah, it is done intentionally. For that reason, the Bach says you could have read the Brit as a question on Rabbah, whereas Rashi reads it clearly as an attempt at an answer to Rav Kahana. And then the Bach points out why Rashi might have learnt that way, because in order to get to a case of mezid, you need Hatra'ah. And if that's the case, then it is an answer to a Rav Kahana, not simply a question on Rabbah. Tashma, hayushtei kitei edim. This should be familiar to us, because that's a Mishnah in the previous perek. Zev, you have two sets of edim. Kafra rishona, v'achaka kafra shnia. The first one denies knowing testimony, and then the second one denies knowing testimony. Shteim chayavot. They are both obligated in Shvuat Ha'edut and have to bring a korban. Because each one of them, in and of themselves, was sufficient to sway the case. Where it says, Bishlama Shnia, I understand why the second set of Edim are Chayavim, Da Kafra Lakat Rishona. Because at that point, the first set of Edim already denied knowing Edut. So the second set of Edim, they're the only ones left now in the case. As far as they know, there's no other but testimony, and therefore they should be Chayav to Shvuat Ha'edut. El Rishona, Amay Mechayva. Why are the first set of Edim Chayavim? Ha Kaimo Shnia. The second set of Edim are still around. They are still there. They know that there's another set of Edim that can come and testify. And so their denial is not going to sway the case because there are other Edim in the case. Why should you be Chayav? So what you see from this is that a denial of Mamon, when there are Edim out there, is still considered to be a denial of Mamon. The first set of Edim, when they deny knowing testimony, even though there are Edim out there that could sway the case, they are still considered to be denying owing money. And as we know, Shvuat Ha'edut and Shvuat HaPikadon are equal in this area. The fact that you need Kfirat Mamon, we learn from Gzeir Shava between them. So if this is sufficient to be a denial, and a denial of a monetary obligation by Shvuat Ha'edut, then it's also going to be sufficient by Shvuat HaPikadon. And this is a question on Rabbah. In the face of Edim, you can have an obligation of Shvuat Ha'edut. First set of Edim are denying knowing testimony, and there are a second set of Edim sitting right behind them. And yet still, the first set of Edim are considered as if they denied a monetary claim, and they're chayav for Shvuat Ha'edut. Similarly, by Shvat HaPikadon, we'd say the same thing. Even when there are Edim, it's still considered to be Kfirat Mamon, and it goes against Rabba's position. Where it says, no, Amar Avina, like we learned in the previous perek, Hachamai Eskinan, Kegon Shaita Shnia, B'Shat Kfirat Rishonah, Krovim B'Nishoteyem. The second set of Edim were relatives when the first set of Edim went to testify. The way Rashi explains it over here is that they were relatives because they married sisters. The two Edim married sisters. Rabbeinu Chananel, back where the Gemara is found in Shvuat Eidu, it says it could even be that they married sisters means the Tovei or the Nidva. In the case, married a sister of one of the Edim. So now they are problematic because they're related to one of the litigants in the case. That's number one. Rabbeinu Chananel also points that over there, and Tosafot brings that up, which is that you have to be a case where they witnessed it before they were married to the sisters, and then they're going to testify later on after the sisters pass away. So it's only in the interim that they are Krovim, because if they witnessed it while they were Krovim, then they'd also be problematic, because then they were witnesses as Krovim. Although we discussed the Rabbi Kiva Eiger back there, that there is a possibility, even if they were Krovim at the time, if they didn't intend to be witnesses, maybe it would not disqualify them. But the Rabbeinu Chananel has that qualification that, first of all, they witnessed it before they were married. Then they got married and became relatives. And now what's going to happen is those women are going to pass away and they're going to become relevant witnesses in the case again. So the Nitzshoteihem goes to Sot. Their wives are on the precipice of death. It really needs to be one of them, not both of them, but one of their wives is on the precipice of death. Ma'adetema, Rov goes to Sim the Mitah. I would have thought since the majority of people who are on their deathbed die, we will look at them as if they already passed away. Kamash Malon, that we don't say that. Hashta, Mi'achayaninhu. Right now, they're still alive. Veloshkivi, and they haven't passed away. And for that reason, they are disqualified as Edim at this immediate time. Not that not Rov goes to Sim or the Mita. Yes, we believe Rov goes to Sim the Mita. But even though Rov goes to Sim the Mita, right now they're still alive. If they're alive, you have a bias in the case, or the Gzeret HaKatuv, that you are a Karov, whatever the reason is behind Krovim, that's going to disqualify you in the case. So when the first set of Edim came to testify, the second set of Edim were not valid Edim, because their wives were still alive, and they were disqualified as Edim. Even though they were Ghost of Sim, they were still disqualified. That's why the first set of Edim are Chayavin, because there were no other Edim at the time they testified. After they testified and said that they know no testimony, then the wives pass away, and now the second Edim become available Edim in the case. And that's why when they go make a denial, they're going to be Chayav, because now they are valid Edim, and the first Edim already denied that they have any testimony. But in that way, it takes it away from being a problem for Rabo. Okay, Tashma, bring another Braita. Bala Bayit, Shita'an Tanat Ganav. You have a Bala Bayit who was holding onto a Pikadon, and he makes a claim that it was stolen from him, this Pikadon, and this Pikadon was stolen from him. Vinishba, he was a Shomer Chinam, and that means a Shomer Chinam is Patur for Gneva Vaveda. If he takes a Shvua, saying that he wasn't Shaloyach Yad, taking a Shvua that it was actually stolen, Vehodeh, and then afterwards he admits that he lied under oath, and that he really stole it himself, or he kept it for himself, and it wasn't stolen by a third party. Ubao Edim, and Edim came. Imachalo Bao Edim Hodeh. If he makes the admission before the Edim show up in the case, Mishalem Karen V'chomesh V'asham. This is a classic case of Shvuat HaPikadon. He denied having a Pikadon under oath, and now he admits to the fact that he did it improperly. In that case, you're going to pay the Karen, the underlying principal, a chomesh, one-fifth, it's really 25%, a quarter, and you're going to bring your korban asham, the asham zelot, which comes from Shvuat HaPikadon. Im bishibo edim hodeh, if after the edim came, he admits to being wrong, mishalem tashlumei kefel v'asham. So in that case, he pays kefel because of the edim. The edim caught him in his lie about the gneva, and the Gemara in Baba Kama teaches us that toein tanat ganav, a person makes a claim of Gneva, even if it's false, he gets treated like a Ganav himself. And just like a Ganav himself who's caught pays Kefel, so too a person who's Toein Tanat Ganav that's caught pays Kefel. So here he's going to pay Kefel because he was caught as a Ganav. He claimed he was stolen from him, in the end he was the thief. And therefore he's going to pay Kefel. On the other hand, after his admission that he lied, not because of the Edim, but because he admitted that he lied, now he's Chayav for Shvat HaPikadon. You're only chayav for Shvat HaPikadon if you admit to lying under oath, not if Edim come along and testify that you lied under oath. So the Edim make him chayav in Kefel. His admission makes him chayav in Shvuat HaPikadon. But in this case, he's only going to give an Asham and not Karen B'chomesh. The reason he's not going to pay Karen B'chomesh is, number one, the Karen is already paying back, subsumed in the Kefel. So the Karen's already paid. And number two is, truthfully, the Chomesh is subsumed in the Kefel as well. 1 1/4 is less than 2 times, so the 2 times payment. Now, even though they derive from separate places, there is a limud in the Psukim by Shvuat HaPikadon that says that if you're already paying more than the Karen or you're paying Kefel, you're not going to be chayav for the Chomesh. So for that reason, in that instance, he's going to be chayav a Korban Hashem for Shvuat HaPikadon, and he's going to pay Kefel because of the Edim. Now, the problem here is that you have Edim in the case. And despite the fact that they're Edim in the case, his admission leads to a case where he's going to bring a Korban, and he's going to pay Karen V'chomesh. Because we have a second part of the Braita that says when Edim come, this is the din. Well, if Edim can come and make this the din, that means when he admits it on his own, the Edim are also there. They just haven't come yet. And if he admits on his own, we're saying he's Chayav Shuata HaPikadon. That's against Rabba's position again. Rabba believes when there are Edim, there is no Shuata HaPikadon. Here, Braita seems to indicate otherwise. Hachanami Kidiravino. Over here, again, we're going to explain that case is a case of Ravina where the Edim were related at the time that he made the admission. So when he made the admission or his denial was a real kfirat mamon and a real admission because the fact that the Edim didn't exist at the time that he made the denial of the claim because they were relatives at that time. After that, their wives pass away and then they're no longer relatives. They can come and testify in the case. So you have Edim who are Edim at the end of the case, but not Edim at the time that he makes the kfira, the denial of the claim. Now over here again, it has to be a situation in which the Edim are not related when they witness whatever it is they witness. Then at the time of the denial of the claim, they are related and therefore disqualified in the case. And then later on, when they come back and testify, that they're not related. Because in that way, they are valid witnesses. When they testify, they're valid. But at the time that he made a denial of the claim, they were not witnesses in the case. And that's why it works, according to Rabbah, even though they're Edim in the case. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger points out that the Gemara's answer here, according to Rav Ina, who says that they were relatives at that time that he was kofer, shows you that in order for the Edim to be valid over here, they only need to be valid at the time that they witnessed him taking the object, doing something with the object, and number two is they come and testify at a time that they're not relatives. But at the time that he was kofer under oath, they were not valid Edim, which means that there must be other Edim that are testifying about the kfira that he's making under oath. And what Rabbi Akiva Eiger then points out is that those Edim that are testifying about the kfira don't know about the transaction as a whole. And therefore you're able to bifurcate between knowledge about the actual pikadon and knowledge about the kfira. And that would then undermine what Rashi said at the beginning of today's daf, that you have individuals who cannot give hatra'ah because they don't know what's going on in the case. They need to know what's going on in the case. And from here, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says you don't have that. You have a case of Edim that are coming along and speaking about the kfira, even though they have no idea about the pikadon and the original deposit. So you see that the hatra'ah is about the person that is being warned and not about the people who are warning. They just have to warn about a particular issue, which is the violation, but they don't need to know all the facts of the case. And he dismisses the possibility of saying that just because the Edim are now relatives, then for the Mutre, the one who's being warned, it's a safek, because he doesn't know if there are actually Edim in the case or not Edim in the case. Dinira kevin taveira vadai, since he's definitely doing something wrong, and the safek is just whether they're going to be Edim to testify about the fact that he's done something wrong, that's not called hatrat safek, that's called hatrat vadai. And based on that, he says that it's a tzarachiyon godol on Rashi's explanation before that it's considered to be a tratza fake when you only know a portion of the information or you're only warning without knowing the greater picture of information. And he says from here, Ravina's answer, you see that you can separate the issues out, combine different edim in order to get the complete indictment of this individual. And therefore, he doesn't understand Rashi's explanation of a tratza fake before. Amarle Ravina the Ravashi. Tashma, let's bring a proof from here. Chamura mimena shvuat ha-pikadon. Shvat Abigadon has this chumrah. Shechayavin al zdonam akot v'al shigigata asham kesef shkalim. In the case where you are doing it intentionally, you're going to get makot. And if you do it unintentionally, you're going to bring an asham of kesef shkalim. Midik amar lokeh, the fact that this braita tells you that you get makot, michal deike edim. Clearly there are edim in the case. You can only get makot if you have hatra'ah and edim in the case. That means there are edim in the case. V'kamar. And the braita says, ashkigata asham kesef shkalim. That if you did it bishogeg, you're going to be chayav and asham. That means you bring the korban even in the face of edim. Amar lohu, Rav Mordechai. So Rav Mordechai says, bar mina. You can't bring that braita. Dahoyid amar lohu, Rav Kahana. That's the same braita about which Rav Kahana said, ana taninala. I brought that braita. V'hochi taninala. And this is the proper way to bring it. Now first of all, the first dismissal is the fact that that braita was authored by Rabbi Shimon. The fact that it's authored by Rabbi Shimon might also make it a dat yachid, and therefore Rabbah can claim that that's Rabbi Shimon's shita, not the Rabbonon shita. But even without that, we already had on the previous Samud, the Rav Kahana said that that braita was invalid, and the language of the braita was incorrect. And the way to read it is this, echad zdona v'echad shkigata, whether you do it intentionally or unintentionally, asham kesef shkalim, you're chayav and asham. In that case, you have no proof as to whether there are edim in the case or there are no edim in the case, because there's no malkot anymore in the braita. And therefore, you can't prove anything against the Rabbah, because we no longer know if there are edim in the case. And just the fact that your chayav might be when there are no edim. And if there were edim, maybe you would not be chayav. Tashma. Again, we bring the same braita that we brought before about Nazir. We're bringing it over here. Lo imamarta b'nazir tamei shekein lokeh. It's different, because Nazir is more chamor, because he gets malkot when he violates his Nazirut by becoming tamei. Tomar b'shvat ha-pikadon, you're going to say about shvat ha-pikadon, she'enu lokeh, that you don't get malkot. Hey chidami, what's the case here? Idaleke edim, if there are no edim in the case, am I lokeh? Then why does the Nazir tamei get malkot if there are no edim in the case? Elab shita de'ika edim. It's clear that in this case, there were edim. Viktani, and the latter half of that says, Tomar b'shvat ha-pikadon, she'enu lokeh. By shvat ha-pikadon, you don't get malkot. Milkahu d'lo-loki does not get malkot, aval korban mighty. He does bring a korban, and you see there that even in the face of edim, you are chayav a korban for shvat ha-pikadon, tiyufta d'rabo, tiyufta. That is a strong refutation of the position of Rabbah. Now, on the previous amud, the Gemara re-read that braita in order not to be an answer for Rav Kahana. But the truth is that when you reread the braita in that way, that it can't be a proof for Rav Kahana, that doesn't solve the problem for Rabbah. And that is that in either case, the Gemara thought that there were malkot in the situation. The only question is malkot enough, or you need malkot and a korban, or no malkot and yes a korban? But in the cases, whether you read it the way that we read it just now, or the way that they altered it on the previous amud, in either of those readings, there's still malkot in the case, and that means that there are edim here. And despite the fact there being edim, there is a chiyuv korban. And if there is a chiyuv korban, that goes against Rabbah, who says that shvuat ha-pikadon has no application when there are edim, and that's why this braita is a serious refutation of the position of Rabbah. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we have a dissenting opinion, someone who argues on Rabbah, and that is Rabbi Yochanan. And that is Rabbi Yochanan Amar, HaKufer b'mamon sheyesh alav edim chayav. Someone who denies owing money when there are edim in the case, he is chayav. There is shvat ha-pikadon, even in the face of edim. B'shtar patur. But if he denies owning money when there is a shtar that documents the fact that he owes the money, there is not chayav for shvat ha-pikadon. Amar ha-papa, my time is the Rabbi Yochanan. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan's differentiation between edim and shtar? You would think they should be the same. Both of them are evidence that he owes money. So then why should his denial be anything in shvat ha-pikadon when either of them are present? Yet, Rabbi Yochanan says by edim, it is considered to be a denial. By shtar, it is not considered to be a denial. So Rabbi Papa wants to understand what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan's position. Edim avidi demaiti. So Rabbi Papa suggests that edim die. And therefore, his denying the claim has value over here. Even though there are edim in the case, there's a possibility that edim die, and then his denial would be a real denial. It would be an efficacious denial because the edim will never show up now, they died. On the other hand, shtar, hamanach. Shtar is an inanimate object that doesn't die, and therefore it's always there. And so his denial is not a real denial. Amar lei Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua Rav Papa, shtar nami avi de mirkas. Who says a shtar can't get ripped up, can't be destroyed, can't be burnt? Meaning that a shtar has, even as an inanimate object, has equal risk that it will disappear as a dim, and maybe even more risk because somebody doesn't take care of it or gets ripped up or something can happen, a fire in the house. All of these things can affect the shtar. So I don't see the distinction that you're making as being valid. Elomer Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua, haynu taima de Rav Yochanan. This is the reason behind Rav Yochanan's position, differentiating between a dim and shtar. Mishum dave shtar shibud karkaot. When you have a shtar, it entitles you to lay down the property of the individual who owns property to back up the loan. Ve'mivin korban al kfirat shibud karkot. And you don't bring a korban when you deny something that has shibud karkot. So now this is an important statement over here, which is, first of all, we're going to see it in a second, but it comes out of the Gemara in Baba Kama that you don't take a shvua on karka. Whenever there is an issue about karka, shvua is not applicable by karka. They learned that out from a klal upratu chlal, that a shvua is not applicable by karka, as well as many other things. There, the Gemara in Perka Meruba and Baba Kama learns that kefel is not applicable. Many of the items that we know are not applicable because of a klal upratu chlal that eliminates karka. So what Rabbi Yochanan is pointing out is that when you have a shtar in a case, a shtar entitles the creditor to not only go after the debtor's money, but to go after his land. He now has a lien on the debtor's land because of the shtar that he is holding. The shtar entitles him to a lien. Remember that a shtar makes it that the issue is public or in the public sphere. It's the equivalent of being a ability to do a title search. Since the shtar has signatories to it, it makes it into a public matter. And now everybody knows that there's a creditor outstanding. That creditor has a lien on the property of the debtor. That lien makes it into a property issue. If you have a property issue and you take a shvua denying that you owe money, it doesn't have any relevance because you can't take a shvua on karka. You also can't take a shvua on shibud karka, or a lien on karka. And that's why when you have a shtar, there is no such thing as shvuat ha-pikadon. The other hand, when you have a dim do not entitle you to a lien on the property. They just are evidence to that fact that you owe the money. So in that case, if you deny it under oath, you are going to be chayav for shvuat ha-pikadon because you could take a shvua. Your denial might have impact in the case because the edim may never show up or they may die before they come along and testify to the fact that you owe the money, and therefore you're chayav for shvuat ha-pikadon. That is Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua's explanation of the reasoning behind Rav Yochanan's position. The Baal Yad Tosafot over here point out that Rav Yochanan and other places in Shas has a position that shibuda deoraita, that shibud, or the lien that's created when a person borrows money, is actually a Torah-prescribed position. And that means that whenever you borrow money, with or without a shtar, there is a shibud that is created. The Rabbanan suspended that shibud in cases where there is no shtar in order to protect other buyers of property or other lenders to this individual because there's no kol. It's not something that goes into the public realm or the public sphere. So for that reason, they suspended it. But that means at a Torah level, there is always shibud karkot. And then, Baal Tosafot asks, basically according to Rabbi Yochanan now, if you believe you can't take a shvua, not only on karka, but also on shibud karkot, how does Rabbi Yochanan ever have a case of shvuat ha-pikadon? How are you ever going to have a case of shvuat ha-idut? Because there's always going to be a shibud karkot. So Tosafot is in a bind here. Rabbi Yochanan believes shibud deoraita, which means that in any transaction, automatically there is a shibud. Chachamim waive it, or they remove it. But midoraita, there is a shibud. And that shibud now prevents you from taking a shvua that will be meaningful. There may never be a case of shvuat edut. There'll never be a case of shvuat ha-pikadon. So the Baal Yad Tosafot, in the end, the answer, tzarich lomar, dalibei mishkacha keshemachal ha-shibud. The only case it's going to be is a case, according to Rabbi Yochanan, where the creditor waived his right to the shibud. He said, I don't need a shibud, I don't want the shibud. That's the only way you're going to have a case of shvat ha-pikadon or shvat ha-edut, which is extremely far-fetched and very difficult. Tosafot HaRosh suggests you can have the case in a case where the individual doesn't own karka. Shibud d'oraita only applies to land. It doesn't apply to metaltolin. And therefore, the case where Rabbi Yochanan can have shvat ha-pikadon or shvat ha-edut is where the person doesn't own property. If he doesn't own property, there is no shibud midoraita, because there's no property for there to be a lien on. Given that, you can have a case of shvad debigadon or shvad eidut in a situation where the debtor does not have property. So that's how other rishonim deal with the problem. Although the simpler way to deal with this is to say, once the chachamim came in and determined that the shibuda doraita is not applicable in any of these cases except for shtar, they were mafkia the shibuda doraita. Beitin has the right of hefker, beitin hefker, and therefore the shibud no longer exists. Even at a doraita level, the chachamim undermined that shibuda doraita, and that's why you're going to have cases of shvata pikadon and shvata eidut. Now the Gemara moves on and says, itmar, mashbia edei karko. The person who demands that edei karko take a shvua, pligi Rabbi Yochanan vi Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan is Talmid Mufak. Rabbi Elazar argue about this. Chad amar chayav. One of them says you are chayav. V'chad amar patur. And one of them says you are patur. It's a case of shvat eidut, where he wants the edim to come to testify about some monetary issue that involves karko. So the question is there shvat eidut or is there no shvat eidut when it comes to karka? Karka generally is not subject to a shvua, and shvat eidut requires a shvua denying the fact that you have testimony. So if you believe that there is no such thing as a shvua on karka in shvat eidut, then you would be patur in that case. So that's what is being said here. Chadamar chayav, one of them, Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Elazar says you are chayav, chadamar patur, one of them says there is no shvat eidut in this case. Tistayim. Let us conclude that Rabbi Yochanan damar patur. Rabbi Yochanan is one who says you are patur. Amar Rabbi Yochanan kufir b'mamon sheish alav edim chayav shtar patur. Ukid Rav Huna b'Rei Rabbi Yehoshua. And like the explanation of Rav Huna b'Rei Rabbi Yehoshua, that the reason you are patur by the case of shtar is because it's a denial of shibud karkaot, meaning that the shvat is not binding in this case or does not bring you to shvat abikadon, tistayim. So it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Huna b'Rei Rabbi Yehoshua, is the one who believes that by shvata pikadon and by shvata edut, a shvua on karka does not end up with a obligation for shvata pikadon or shvata edut. You are patur in both of those cases. And therefore they're saying not only by shvata pikadon is that true, it's also true by shvata edut, and then we'll assign that position to Rabbi Yochanan. Meaning that Rabbi Lazar is the one who believes that you are chayav. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiya the Rabbi Abau, Leima Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lazar beplukta the Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanon Gamifligit. Let us say that this machloket Amoraim between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan is similar to a machloket Tanaim between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. The Tanan. We have a Mishnah in Baba Kama. Guzel Sadeh Mechaveiro. Person steals a field from his friend. Vishat Fanar. And then afterwards, the river overflows and basically washes over the land or destroys it. Chayav Lamid Lo Sadeh. Divi Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says you're chayav to replace the field that you stole. He can say, here's your field back. Here's what you owned all along. Obviously, their machloket over there is whether there is a din of gzela by karka. Can you steal karka? Rabbi Elazar believes there is gezel by karka. And if there is gezel by karka, there is a requirement to return the gezel that you took. You took something that was valuable. You're returning something now that is not valuable. Given that, you have to make restitution, remuneration, because you degraded the value of this person's property after you took possession of it as a gazlan. That is Rabbi Eliezer's view. The Chachamim say, karka and an igzelet. Karka never be stolen. The reason obviously is that karka is attached to the ground. It doesn't move. So you can never steal it. You can try to possess it. You can try to displace the owner, but in the end you never took possession of it because the karka doesn't move from the original owner's possession. And that means that it was never stolen, and that means there's no obligation to return it. You could say, Harisho Khalifanecha, here's your property. It was yours all along. Now it's underwater. It was yours. When it wasn't underwater, it's still yours when it is underwater. That's the machloka between them. What's their machloka? The Bilezer Dorish Ribuye Umiyute. Bilezer learns from a Ribuye and a Miyut. Rabbanan Dashe Klale Uprate. The Rabbanan use a Klal Uprat. Rabbelezer Darish Ribuye Umiyute. V'kichesh ba'amito. He makes a denial. This is from the psukim by Shvuat HaPikadon. But from Shvuat HaPikadon, we also learn about what is classified as gzela. Because Shvuat HaPikadon tells you that all these types of denials of claims of money are going to obligate you. You are considered to be a thief in all these cases. What are these cases? There, the Torah lays them out. And those are the pratim, which is kikesh v'amito, you made a denial of a monetary claim, that's a riboy. Bipikadono b'tumet yad, about a deposit or about a loan, miyet, it gives you now particular items. O mikola sheyishava, they go, anything you're going to take a shvua about, there it is, chazar v'riba. So you have a riboy miyot a riboy, ribo miyot a riba, riba kol. Then we include everything. My riba, riba kol mile. What does it include? It includes everything. My miyet, it only is miyet one thing, miyet shtarot. Din of gzela does not apply to shtarot, and there's no obligation of hashava by shtarot, as well as the fact that there will be no obligation of shvuat apikadon by shtarot, and no din of shvua. And since shtar is the most far-fetched of all the cases, or comparable cases, that's where we're going to be mimayet, because ein gufo mamon. It has no inherent value, which differentiates it from any other item that is mentioned here. But that means, according to him, by karka, there is a din of gezel, and there is a requirement of hashava. Rabbanon dashe klalei uprate. Rabbanon used the same phrases, but they dashed as a klal uprat, instead of a riboy umiyot. Riboy miyot says that the riboy includes everything, the miyot excludes one item. The klal uprat to klal says that in adam elokein aprat. The prat defines what the klal is. And that's what they say. Kichesh v'amito klal, v'pikadono b'tzumet yado b'gazel prat, om mikol ha'shei shavah alav chazar v'klal. Klal uprat to klal, yatadan elokein aprat. What's kein aprat? What's the common denominator between all the pratim? Ma prat mifurash, davar mitteltel v'gufo mamon. There are two things that are a common denominator to all of the items listed over there. One is that it is a movable object. And number two is that it is inherent value. Av kol davar mitaltel v'gufo mamon. So too, anything that is mitaltel is a movable object, non-real property, and gufo mamon, it has inherent value. Those are the items that are going to be subject to shvuat ha'pikadon, as well as subject to the requirement of hashava when it comes to gzela, or that you can't steal them. Yatsu, karkaot, shein mitaltel. Karkaot are not movable objects, so therefore they're not included there. Yatsu avadim shukshu the karkaot. Eved knani has the same din as karka. They're deemed to be property, just like karka, because of the pasuk at the end of Vayikra, it says, ve'ihin chaltem otam livnechem achareichem, that you will give them over as a nachala to your children. They'll be passed down like property to your children. So since they're like karka, they're also excluded. Yatsu shtarot, shafo bishim mitaltelim. Shtarot, even though they're movable objects, ain gufan mamon. They don't have inherent value to them. The shtar itself is not inherently valuable. It's what's written in the shtar. It's the intangible that is derived from the shtar that makes it valuable. The shtar inherently has no value. It's the value of the paper that it was written on. There's no more value there. It's the words that are written that give it value beyond that. But that's not gufo mamon. That's not inherent value. That's value that's projected by that which is written on the shtar. So mande mechayev, the one over here who says you are chayav for shvuat eidut, which is similar to shvuat apikadon, ki Rabbi Eliezer will be like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that there is gezel by karkaot, and therefore there will also be shvuat apikadon and shvuat eidut by karka. Manda patar, the one who says you are patur, ki Rabbanon will hold like the Rabbanon, who says that karka is an exemption by shvuat apikadon, by gzela, and by shvuat eidut. But says, Amalei, look, that you don't have to do. Man de mechayev ki Rabbi Eliezer. Clearly, the one who says you are chayav for shvat eidut, shvat apikadon, and gezel by karka, clearly says like Rabbi Eliezer and learns it as a riboy umiyut. So that means that if we think it's Rabbi Elazar, then Rabbi Elazar clearly holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Uman de patar, the one who says you are patur, Rabbi Yochanan, amar lacha, he can say that I can fit into both the chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. Baha, filo Rabbi Eliezer modeh. Over here, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees, the Rachman Amar mikol, velo hakol. Because it says, in the latter part of the limud, we said the limud is, v'kichesh v'amito, is a ribui. Then we had pikadon utzumet yad, which is a miyut. And then we had, mikol asher yishava. So there, the ribui on the other side, mikol asher yishava, has a miyut embedded in it. And that is, it doesn't say, kol asher nishba. It says, mikol asher nishba. So there's an additional miyut there that it comes to shvua. So even though by gzela, that miyut doesn't apply, because there, it is only excluding shtarot, but nevertheless, by shvua, there's an additional miyut in those psukim, and that additional miyut comes to tell you that shvua does not have application by karka, just like it does not have application by shtarot. And that way he can have Rabbi Eliezer fit the position. There will be gzela. There will be a requirement of hashava for karka, but it won't be true by shvua, by karka. That's what Rabbi Yochanan will claim. And therefore Rabbi Yochanan can say, Rabbi Eliezer can fit into my position as well, because ba'afil Rabbi Eliezer moded, rachman ha'amar, mikol velo hakol. Only some things are subject to shvua, not all things are subject to a shvua. And so what you have to say is that Rabbi Eliezer darshins the word mikol by bifurcating it into the word kol, which is a riboy for the riboy miut to riboy. And mikol, the mem, is a miut, and you'll use that to connect it to the shvua that is mentioned in that pasuk. And therefore it will also act as a miut at the same time. Although if you look carefully in Rashi, the riboy that is brought is actually not what we thought. The pasuk that we're quoting here, but v'nishbal shaker lachat mikol asheyaseh adam lachato behena, which is found in pasuk chavbet, and then this mute, which is found later in pasuk chavdalet, o mikol ashey yishaval av lasheker b'shilam oto b'roshu b'chamishita v'yosef alav lasher hu lo yitzenu b'yom hashmato. In that way, Rashi actually has two different sukim, one for the riboy and one for the mute. And Mike, most of the Rishonim will believe that it's the same pasuk that's being used for the riboy and the miut. So Amar Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava Matznita Nami Deka. Our Mishnah is also Meduyak. Diktani Ganafta Et Shuri. Our Mishnah gives an example of a case where you're Chayav for Shabbat Abikadon and you're Patur for Shabbat Abikadon. In the examples, it says you stole my shor. V'omer lo ganafti. He said, I didn't steal your shor. Mashbiachani, he says, I want you to take a shua to that effect. Amar Amen, the other guy responds in the affirmative. Chayav. You are chayav in that case for denying a claim under oath. Bilu ganafta et abdi loktani. It doesn't say over there that you stole my Eved Kanani. It only says you stole my possession. You stole my shor. My daima. Why does the Mishnah give as an example a shor and not an Eved? La mishum de Eved it kish le karkaot. Isn't that because Eved would not have worked in the case of the Mishnah? Because it would be Hukash the Karkaot, and Eved Kanani has the same din as Karka. Maybe me and Korban, Al-Kfirat Shibud Karkaot. And you don't bring a Korban over a denial of something that deals with Karka, because Karka was precluded from this according to Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore the Mishnah, by not giving example of Shibud Karkaot, or not giving example of Karka, is showing you that there is no din of Shvata Pikadon by Karka. Amar Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava, Eima Seifa. What are you going to do with the latter half of the Mishnah? The latter half of the Mishnah is a summary that summarizes everything that was said before. Zeaklau. This is the principle. Kol HaMishal Eima Piatzmo Chayav. Anybody who pays through their own admission, Chayav. B'Sheino Mishal Eima Piatzmo. Someone who, if they admitted to it, would not be obligated to pay, patur. In essence, that's the difference between a monetary obligation and a knas. Monetary obligation, if you admit to it, you're going to have to pay it. You're going to have to make restitution. In a case of knas, if you admit to it, modeh b'knas is patur. So what the Mishnah does is lays out the principle in the last number of cases that are brought in the Mishnah. Anytime it's a monetary claim and a monetary denial, you are chayav. Anytime it is a knas, then your denial isn't meaningful, because if you admitted to it, you'd be patur. Then that principle that's brought at the end of the Mishnah, what is that coming to include? The Bavli always believes that when the Mishnah gives a summary that tells you a general statement summarizing everything that you saw in the Mishnah, it's not enough that it's just a summary of what was in the Mishnah. We assume it's including something else, that it's coming to tell you more information than is actually written in the Mishnah, and that's what they ask over here. What does it come to include? Lav le'tuye ganavta et avdi. Maybe it comes to tell you that it includes ganavta et avdi. Therefore, the Mishnah does include a case of karka. Ve'laha lekala mishma minah. From there, you can't bring any conclusive proof. From our Mishnah, you don't know. You could read the Mishnah as a proof to the fact that you can't take a shvata pikadon with regards to karka, because it never gives an example of karka. You could read it that it believes that there is a case of karka, because it has that principle at the end, that cloud. Maybe that includes a case of karka, like Eved. And because of that, it's indecisive, or it is not clear from the Mishnah in which direction it is leaning, and therefore you can't bring a proof from our Mishnah as to whether the din of shvata pikadon applies to karka, or shibud karkaot, or does not apply to it. And even though the Mishnah does bring an example in the end of a case where he meets Shuri et Abdicha, your shor killed my Eved, where there was a case of Kenas, over there, because it's a Kenas, it may have no connection to the question of Shibud Karkaot. Because kanas is not connected to the underlying asset that was destroyed. It's simply a kanas. And therefore, it would not be an example of a case of Eved being brought in the Mishnah, which would indicate that there is Shvata Pikadon by Karka. Because over there, the Eved has a different din, not a monetary claim, but rather a kanas. And kanas might be exceptional in that way. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Lamed Chet Amud Aleph.